prayer. How do we pray? The people who were closest to Jesus heard him talk about all kinds of different issues. He was a teacher who, I believe, touched on every subject of living that matters. But according to the records that we have, there was only one subject that his disciples came asking him to teach them. They came one day and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Why? Why do you think that's the only request for his teaching that they made? And could it be that they suspected prayer was the secret aspect of his life? And could it be that they were watching him and they could tell that there was something about prayer in him that was very central to everything else that he was doing? I also wonder if their only request was, "Lord, teach us to pray," because that happens to be our most urgent question as well. I think it's our most urgent question. Think of it this way. Why were we made? Well, we were made to be fully alive with God. Prayer is the practice of being fully alive with God. Prayer is becoming aware of who we are and who God is. Prayer is our way of understanding and knowing what matters most to God. And prayer helps us to become aware of what we really need in our lives. Prayer is taking your place, finding your life with God. I think we want to know how to pray because prayer is at the center of what it means to be a Christian person and to live a Christian life. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I get a sense that there are some here today who struggle with prayer. They don't find it easy. It's not very helpful to them. And somehow it doesn't feel very real. Many people in the church, frankly, don't pray very much. Is it because prayer is worthless to us? Or is it because we haven't yet found a way of praying that fits us? To be faithful to who we are, it's important that we find that way of praying that's consistent with who we are. And if you're not praying much, or if the prayers you offer seem weak and fruitless, my question to you is this. Do you want to stay stuck where you are? Or is there a part of you that's ready to say, "God, there must be more to this than I know. Teach me to pray." One of the clearest words that's come to me through my discussions with many of you, one of the things I'm trying to understand is where we want to go and what kind of vision we have and who we want to be. And what I keep hearing over and over from our church is we want to be a church on mission for God. We want to be a church that's out there serving others. We want to be a church that's involved in caring for the needs of people in our community and around the world. We are a church on mission. But folks, let me tell you something. You can't possibly be successful in your mission efforts if they are on your power and according to your will. And you are not developing and nurturing that relationship with God. Are you getting this? Our vision statement is to know, grow, and show. And we do a really good job of showing. But I think we will do a better job if we develop and nurture our relationship with God and the knowing part. To know Him, to fully understand His will, His purpose, His desire, to be involved in a relationship with God. I'm delighted to hear many of you tell me that you want to nurture that prayer life and the spiritual side that you think is lacking. One of the things that I used to do, and I'm still involved in, but I haven't done here as much, is a spiritual checkup. Anybody ever had a physical checkup? Well, I decided that since I became a doctor, I should be involved in spiritual checkups. Basically, what I do is evaluate where you are in your spiritual life. Ask you a few questions. And then talk about setting some goals. Is your soul worthy of that? I think so. And one of those areas is prayer. I believe that prayer is the center and the secret of our life privately with Jesus Christ. And my real sense is that we all need to grow in our prayer relationships. Now, that doesn't mean that we reject the horizontal reach of faith. And you don't hear me saying that. The part that wants to reach the world and reach out to the world, that's the part that's committed to relationships and ministry and missions, and that's important, and I will continue to preach on that as well. But we will never reach the world successfully until we are the people who are growing in Him and understanding who He is and who we are. I sincerely believe that before we will ever have any great impact, we'll have to develop more fully the vertical dimension of our spiritual life. And that includes personal prayer. We all need to ask the Lord again, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Or at least, teach us to pray better or more faithfully. Let me start with a couple of assurances, folks. If you were to commit to growing in the way of prayer, it wouldn't mean that you've got to conform to something foreign or ill-fitting to you. Okay? There's a way to pray that will fit you like your own skin. And that's not to say that prayer is easy, because it isn't. As with anything worthy, prayer needs effort, time, and discipline. But there's no single correct way for you to pray. Here's the second assurance. You're going to have help. Prayer is a partnership. It's not just you and your effort. God's involved in this, okay? And you get help. You'll never seek God by yourself. God's always seeking you first. That's great news, folks. It's not just your efforts. God longs to have this relationship. And God will help you along the pathway. The very fact that something in you wants to pray is evidence that God's Spirit is stirring you and pulling you in that partnership. The Scripture says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us, intercedes for us, and groans for us, Romans 8. Commit yourself to staying on the path of prayer, and you will be met. Hasn't God promised, if with all your heart you seek me, you will surely find me? Now, having said this, let's face up to a fundamental fact. Anything that's precious, folks, hear me, anything that's precious, anything that's worthy, anything that's going to grow you into the person that God wants you to be is going to also make demands on you. Is that fair? If prayer is the most worthy, the most precious, the most maturing exercise on earth, then it will make demands on you. Prayer is too important to trust to casual attempts, folks. You know what I mean. You're on again, off again impulses. I'm going to try it. I'm going to not try it. Well, I did it for a little while. Now I'm going to stop. Folks, what I want you to think about, especially during the season of Lent, is developing prayer as a habit. This is a good exercise. It's a good discipline. And it's a good time to think about that kind of discipline. Friendship's fragile. It can't survive just by impulse. You've got to work at it. Relationships are fragile. And so with prayer, if you take it up and let it go, it's probably going to fail you. And if it's based just on your feelings and how you feel in the day, whether or not you want to do this or don't want to do this, then it'll probably let you down, you know? You won't likely live. Prayer needs daily habits, and it also needs the strength of honored routine. Whatever your way of prayer is or is going to become, please consider the likelihood that if it's going to grow you, then it needs regularly appointed times, and it takes daily discipline if it's going to grow you. And most people who know the ways of prayer say that an indispensable daily time for prayer is half an hour. I can look at you now and see, half an hour? Are you kidding me? Folks, if a continuous period of half an hour doesn't work for you, try two shorter periods or three shorter periods, okay? Maybe one at the end of the day, one at the beginning of the day. Does that sound like legalism? It's not legalism. It's relationship. It needs routine. If you want to pray, you need some regular discipline. In Israel, all of Israel prayed in separate times at sunrise, at 3 in the afternoon, and at sunset. And it's clear Jesus prayed at these times as well. Jesus' prayer life was grounded in this routine. The same is true for the New Testament church. The New Testament's clear that the early Christians prayed regularly at sunrise, in the afternoon, and at sunset. Our psalm this morning points to the value of this daily, regularly appointed times. It's good to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. May I suggest some reasons it might be wise to spend some time in the morning and in the evening? I think it's wise to pray at the beginning and at the end of the day. Every new day is a gift from God. Why not pray at the beginning of that new day? For your life. It's a new chance to do good work, to make strong choices. It's a new chance to be fully alive. So why not, before all the noise, all the clutter, all the busyness of the day, just be still for a few moments and reflect on this new day and the fact that God's given it to you. Prayer's perspective. Folks, why go into the day to be swallowed up by the chaos without having that initial time with God? Be still in God's presence. Remember who you are. Remember who God is. Remember that you're not going out into this day blind, but that God's going with you. Do you see what I mean? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Before the ear takes in the countless voices of the day, it should hear in the early hours the voice of the Creator and the Redeemer. And as for evening, don't you know that God gave us the nighttime as a gift? Time for rest means that we have time to trust what's now over to God. So we gaze back at the day In the silence, we look at the sins, we look at the mistakes, we give them to God. We ask that we might learn from our day. We might also reflect on all the ways that God was with us and all the good things that God has done. We give the day and the good memories to God. We give thanks for the experiences that we had. We profess our longing to learn from them. And everything is given back to God. Do you see? And we're given into God's hands, free from the day and free to rest until the morning and the beginning. It will do much for your sleep, I assure you, to give the day into the hands of God. Okay? It's good to declare God's steadfast love in the morning and God's faithfulness by night. My emphasis, folks, this morning is to emphasize the need to make a daily habit of prayer. I've said little about the content of prayer. That's because the first rule of prayer is this: be present. Woody Allen said 90% is just showing up. Right? Just be present. I'm going to talk more about the content of prayer as we move into the future. But folks, it's got to start with your commitment to be present with God initially. And what most of us will learn about prayer won't come by what anybody teaches you. By the daily presence and practice of who you are in the presence of God. I just want to call you to consider giving some time to God every single day. Do you have that presently protected time that you just spend with God? If not, would you consider setting it aside? It may mean you have to get up a little earlier. This is probably not the best day to talk about that. It may mean you got to black out some time in your appointment book. I do that. I get a phone call from Nancy saying, "Are you busy?" "Well, I'm praying." "Oh, good, you're not busy." "No, I am busy." Block it aside. Block it out. Maybe not spending time doing something else you've been doing. Setting it apart and guarding it with your life. Choose a place. Be there with God every day. If you miss a day, get over it. Come back the next day. Okay? If you show up and you find that you feel awkward and you're not quite sure what to do, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to do this, and you're feeling really self-conscious, folks, that's all right. You're not there for a feeling, okay? You're there to begin to deepen a habit of being with God and be open and be honest and be patient, folks, to learn. And if nothing else, for now, let me offer a suggestion. Can you simply pray these words? "Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. I can't think of a better beginning than that. Can you? Let us pray. God, you're always seeking communion with us. We want to be in deeper communion with you. Help us to give you the time and to give you the room. The words, even in silence, that you speak. Lord, teach us to pray so that we might learn to live in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.